Good morning.
Good morning.
So, welcome all to the Lord's house and to our time of worship together. But before we focus on the Lord, we focus on each other. So take time to stand and rise and greet the people around you and offer them the blessings of God that He will do us. How are you? Blessed day. It was in the gift of holy baptism that God gave us His name. And we begin now our worship service in His name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with the true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of your Lord and my Lord Jesus, who is the Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us now pray together. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
We invite your devout attention to God's special word for today. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a long book which begins very much like most of the prophets with judgment, but in chapter 40 it begins with the good news, and that's what we hear this morning, chapter 43 beginning at verse 7. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from the wonderful book of Romans, chapter 6, and begins with a question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now we have died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, They all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, he added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. We pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Our focus today is, of course, on what you heard in the gospel lesson, the baptism of Jesus. And not only is the text from Luke that we read before going to be a part of the sermon message today, we're also looking at a few verses from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, which is the Matthew account of the baptism of Jesus, and is common. Sometimes one provides additional information that the other one doesn't provide. And we have three questions that we're going to address today. First of all, what was the meaning of John's baptism? Now, you studied about what holy baptism means, the New Testament baptism. But you remember that John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the one who was prophesied in Isaiah that he was to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And so that was his task. What was his baptism about? And then another question that goes right along with that, why was Jesus baptized? We always hear that Jesus was, and it's what the Bible tells us over and over again, was without sin, then why would he need baptism? And lastly, we want to say, what was it that happened in the baptism of Jesus that affects our understanding of our baptism today? May God bless us as we consider those questions. First of all, there is the one, what was the meaning of John's baptism? Well, you'll find his definition of what it was in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. John said his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Why would Jesus need to repent? That's why we're going to deal with that second question. But his baptism was about repentance because his baptism was about the coming judgment of God. If you remember in verse 17 of Luke's gospel, which we read before, it said his winnowing fork, God's winnowing fork, is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And then you probably also should pause to remember at a time like this the words that Simeon the prophet said when Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus arrived at the temple. It was Jesus' first trip to the temple because circumcision didn't occur at the temple. That occurred in the local area. But 40 days after the birth, why, the mother had to go through a cleansing ceremony with the mikvah that she took at that time. Plus, there also was the redemption of the male child. The male child or the male birth of any human or animal that belonged to the children of Israel had to be redeemed because the first always belonged to the Lord. So Simeon says to Mary, here's this mother who is pleased and happy. She has her first child. She has a healthy child. And things are going along kind of nice and swimmingly for her, as well as for any new mother. And then this old dude comes and says to her, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus is going to be the dividing line for time and eternity between people, whether they believed in Jesus, accepted him as their Lord and Savior, or whether they rejected him and said, I'll take care of it myself. And if you want to talk about a disaster, that's trying to take care of sin yourself. Because you have no way to make up for your sin. You have no way to pay for your sin. You can only accept the gift of forgiveness that God offers you through his Son, Jesus Christ. But the warning about the sword piercing through Mary's heart was a reminder of what she was going to see on that day that Jesus was crucified. Imagine standing there and seeing probably part of the brutal beating that Jesus endured. If not seeing any of the brutal beating, she saw the results when he arrived at Golgotha, where he was crucified. And then to watch her son be nailed to the cross, to watch him in his pain and suffering there hanging on the cross, and to see how many people ridiculed and make fun of him, no wonder that Simeon would say, a sword will pierce through your own heart also. But you and I also know that that testimony tells to us about how great the love of Jesus was for us, that he was willing to do that. He was willing to endure that because it was not something that he needed, but it was something that we needed. And that's why we want to remember then the second question. Why in the world was Jesus baptized by John? He had no sin, so he didn't need to repent. Why would he undergo baptism? Well, remember, the baptism of John is a little different than the baptism that Jesus gives us, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, what we want to do is remember what happened when Jesus showed up to John. And there's where you got to go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John was blown away by that. That's not a quote from the Bible. It says, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. And so he resisted, he fought against the idea that he should baptize Jesus. And John was 100% correct if he looked at his own spiritual condition versus the spiritual condition of Jesus. But Jesus explains why he was going to be baptized. He says to John, "Let it be so for now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then we're told that John consented to baptize Jesus. Jesus is going to fulfill all righteousness. Now that points to one of the things that Jesus did for us that most of the time we overlook. What did he do for you? He fulfilled the law of God that you couldn't fulfill because he was without sin. He obeyed perfectly. So the law of God was fulfilled and completed by what Jesus experienced and did. Plus, what did Jesus do? He paid the price and the penalty and the wage of sin by dying. But don't let anybody tell you, and don't you say he was murdered by the Jews or he was murdered by the Romans, because nobody could murder or steal or take away the life of the eternal Son of God. But Jesus willed himself to die because he knew that was the payment he was making for you, for me, and for all. That's why he was willing to. That's why I'd like to advise you that don't be one of those Christians who, when somebody asks you, "Well, what did Jesus do for you?" that you only say, "Oh, he died for me." Now, it's true, he did. But that's only part of the story. What's the whole story? Well, the whole story is this: Jesus fulfilled the law of God for me that I couldn't fulfill. He was perfectly obedient. He suffered the price and the consequence and the wage of sin by laying down his life for me. And then he ruled the greatest party that Satan and his minions had ever been on. It was on Good Friday night and Holy Saturday. Because what were they celebrating? Jesus is dead! Jesus is dead! Jesus is gone! Early Sunday morning, they heard that knock on the door. Who's there? Well, you know who was there. Jesus was there. He was there to announce his victory over Satan, over sin, over death, because he was alive. He was resurrected. So that's another part of the story you need to say. I have a living Lord. I don't have some dead hero of the past that I remember. I have a Lord who's alive today, who helps each one of us today, every day, as much as we need and even more than we need, because he's alive. He's not dead and gone. He rose from the dead and gives us the promise that that's our future as well, that we will come alive. But there was a difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus would institute before he ascended into heaven. John told you what part of it was, didn't he? Remember that from back in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Luke? John answered them saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John said, "I only can offer you water. But when Jesus baptizes you, you're not only going to receive the baptism of water, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who called us to faith, who brings us into faith, and keeps us in the faith." And there's even another example of that in the Acts chapter 18, verse 25. There was a very famous preacher of his days named Apollos. He was known to be an extremely eloquent man, and people flocked to hear him. And this is what we read about him in verse 25 of chapter 18 in Acts. "He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John." See, he didn't know the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is what's important for us. Jesus endured the baptism of John because he wanted to remind each of us that what we need to do is repent. Now you remember when we confess our sins, we always say that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed.
Now, word and deed are pretty easy for us to recognize. Sins in our thought are not always as easy to recognize. But you need only to remember what Jesus said about somebody who called a person of his same nationality, you know, Raca, a fool. Jesus said that he was committing murder. Think some of the thoughts that you've had about your friends, your boss, your fellow workers, and your mates. You know, there's sometimes that we have a big smile on our face as we're talking to our mate, and we are inside our little brain is thinking, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Why is she thinking like that? Is that the kind of thoughts I'm supposed to have about my wife? No, but I've had them. She's had some of those about me. Most of the ones she had about me were deserved. Like, I'm going to clean my room. Some of you who remember my days in the church office over here and visited when I was occupying it know that cleaning my room was about like cleaning my office. It never happened. But what happens? We sin in thought, word, and deed. We demand of our society today that we got to have 24/7 medical care, 24/7 police guard and activity, 24/7 even a place to shop when we forget something, so that if we wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, we can run out and get what we forgot. And then what do we turn and say to God? We turn to Him and we say, well, God, if I need You, I'll be in touch. Remember that old gospel hymn? Every hour I need You. That's the truth for us. The 24/7, much more than our police, much more than our medical care, much more than any shopping opportunities, much more than anything we can imagine, is our God. The God who has forgiven us. The sin problem that you can't cure, that I can't cure. The price of sin that I can't pay and you can't pay. And then we come to the last thing that Jesus, baptism by John, also can say to us. You see, we were the children of God because He made us. We belonged to Him. We were His creation. Then what happened? The fall into sin. And even Jesus Himself said in John chapter 8, the one who sins is a slave to sin. It means sin has trapped us. Who are we serving then? Not ourselves, not our God, but we're serving Satan. But then Jesus comes and conquers sin, death, Satan. And what voice did Jesus hear from heaven? Jesus heard the voice from the heaven that said, "You are My beloved. With You I am well pleased." I find it interesting. Every time an angel appears to a human being, what's the first thing the angel has to say? Fear not. Yeah. Now, if one holy angel can get you quivering in your boots, it's a lesser creature than God Himself. What do you think about standing face to face and looking God Himself in the eye? You think your knees might be knocking a little? But they don't have to. Because what Jesus said to His Son is what made it for us. That business about Jesus fulfilling all righteousness tells us about the new way in which the Father views us when we in faith accept Christ. He sees us covered with the righteousness of Jesus. The holiness of Christ. That's why we can stand in the presence of the holy God, because our sin is hidden from His eyes. Part of it is His own actions, because He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far will I remove your transgressions from you. So that you can say to anybody who asks, yes, I am a child of God. Because in your baptism, that was God's adoption ceremony. And God claimed you back into his family. And so he said, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I am well pleased with you. You are my child. And that's why you're invited to his table. Because the Father feeds and cares for his young. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ and with Christ unto life everlasting. We stand, I believe, to sing. We now confess our faith in this God who calls us his child. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We worship the Lord with our offering. Thank you. Let us pray for the body of Christ wherever it is in any part of our world, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, we ask you to guide the leaders of the world into pathways of peace. Help to them work together with other nations and neighboring nations, not only for the good of their own land, but for the good of those around them. For we should desire not simply our own welfare, but the good welfare of all mankind. Lord, in your mercy. We ask you to look with compassion, O Lord, upon all of those who are sick, upon all of those who are undergoing surgeries, upon all of those who have lost homes, upon all of those who have lost jobs, those who do not know where they will be able to live in the days to come. Send compassionate hearts to help them and useful ways for us as citizens to help serve them so they might find a place of rest. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort all of those who have lost loved ones, for we know that in the eyes of the world, death marks an end. But we remember the words of the Apostle Paul who said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." For we know that when we pass from this earthly life, we will enter with our souls into your heavenly realm, where there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. And we will await that wondrous day of Christ's return when our bodies will be resurrected from the dead, and when our soul will be reunited, and we will move into our eternal dwelling with Christ as our roommate and our brother. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, prepare us now as we receive this Holy Supper. Give us, O Lord, renewed faith and strength, and help us to remember when the devil keeps trying to accuse us that you have said, "These are my beloved children. I am pleased with them." Lord, in your mercy. And we pray, O Lord, for the successful proclamation of the gospel in every corner of the world, that all who have not yet heard will hear, and all those who do not yet believe will believe, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. This and all things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us as your children to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And now we call on our elder to ask the special invocation submitted this morning.
Dear beloved Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. We pray for Larry Evanchik and his health, continuing health concerns, and we just lift him up in prayer. Grant him your peace. And we lift up in prayer Jonathan Yalman. We ask you, Lord, for peace in his life as he prepares to for his residency interviews, that they would be successful. And we ask you to grant him travel mercies this week. We lift up in prayer a friend who is going through abdominal surgery this Monday. We pray for a cancer-free status, that no cancer would be found. And we just lift these prayers up before you and give you praise and thanksgiving. We pray in your mercy. You're our prayer.
Amen. Amen. We continue with the liturgy of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Oh. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the very night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper, in the same way also, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come. For all is now ready.
Thank you.
May these precious gifts May these precious gifts, the true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you in your faith and keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Don't let that blank screen fool you. We do have announcements. We have an ongoing foundations class. It began this last Wednesday, January 9th. And it runs 8 consecutive weeks to the 27th of February. So if you're interested, it's taught by Pastor Doug, and it meets at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Then we have the K-8 school orientation. That will be held this Tuesday, the 15th. There is a session at 4:30 in the afternoon and one at 6 p.m. in Fellowship Hall. And they're offering a $100 discount for early registration. So if you're interested, please attend that meeting, one of those two meetings. Then January is Trinity's month for supporting the iDignity program. And you may have noticed the iDignity buckets. There's one in the narthex and one at the side entrance over here. It's Trinity's month for providing support for iDignity. And if you'd like to give to this program, then please do so. Also, if you would like to serve, our date is this month. It's once a month, would be this coming Thursday, the 17th. And I believe for more information, you can visit idignity.org And that's the end of the announcements. Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.